Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Dr. Tracy Lynn, known as the $100 million woman, a legendary entrepreneur who transformed a mere 200 into a 100 million direct sales dynasty with her brand, Tracy Lynn Fashion Jewelry. Renowned for empowering thousands of women around the world, she's grown her company to one of the largest in the direct sales industry with nearly 100,000 consultants. Her achievements have earned her a spot among the top 50 direct sales company in the U.S. and features in Essence, Black Enterprise, and the Huffington Post. As a celebrated speaker and role model, Tracy inspires with her journey of resilience, excellence, and dedication to helping others achieve success. She is now on a mission to help female entrepreneurs take their life and business to the next level so they can live the life they always knew that they were created for. So welcome, Dr. Tracy.
Absolutely, Rachel. So glad to be here with you.
I would love for you to share a little bit more about you and the story that got you into the works that you've begun. And of course, we all want to know how you turned that 200 into 100 mil.
Well, I started out in corporate America. I was actually supposed to go to medical school. I'm my mother's only child, and her vision and dream for me was to be a physician. And that didn't quite work out. She always told me she just believed in her mind that the only way I could have financial success if I was a doctor or a lawyer, and she would say, you know, an Indian chief. And I turned that into the fact that she did raise a chief, a CEO, a chief executive officer. And I just remember working in corporate America, and I was only 23 at the time. And every day I wanted to sleep at the desk. I was bored out of my mind. And I could not imagine doing this type of work for the next 30 years, only to retire with a gold watch. I wasn't even worried about what I was going to retire with. I was concerned, could I even continue to do what was really boring to me? And I was in the financial sector. And so I decided to start my business. I've had many little ventures, but the one that I was really excited about was the jewelry. I had $200 worth of jewelry in a Tupperware container, and I took it to a choir rehearsal, and I passed the Tupperware container around, and it came back with double the money that I spent. And I knew in 15 minutes that I was on to something big. And that's how I turned the $200 into $100 million. But there is always, and that's why I'm glad we're talking today, there is always the thing called process, the thing nobody else wants to talk about, because I didn't get $200 and instantly it was $100 million. My goodness, I only had $200 worth of jewelry. So it went on. And in the process, it's called the middle. And that's where most people give up, is right in the middle of the journey. They don't wait to see it through. So I'm in the middle. And I remember starting that business, starting another business with clothes, then doing more with jewelry. But even on the jewelry side, there was three iterations of Tracy Lynn Jewelry before I ever became very successful. It was on the last third iteration that we just skyrocketed, the business skyrocketed from half a million, million, 5 million, 10 million, 20. That's when the whole trajectory of the business changed. But I was resilient and relentless through every part of the process. And when I say three iterations, that means that there was a beginning and what felt like an end, and then another beginning and another what felt like the end. And so many times people don't keep going. If they have an end, they think it's over. And I wasn't ready. At 25, I made my first $1 million when I was 25 years old in the jewelry business. But I was 25 years old. I was a young woman. I just wasn't set up or prepared for all the ups and downs, in and outs, and people that would come my way. And I'm not talking about just the good people. I'm talking about some bad experiences with people. And because I'm in a people business. So I just wasn't equipped. And because it took three iterations, by the time I got to that third iteration, I was really ready. I was unstoppable at that point.
Oh my goodness. I'm amped up from you just hearing your story. This is the fire. This is the encouragement that not only I need, but those that are listening, maybe you're at that pivotal moment of your life and you're thinking, man, I've gone up to bat once, twice. Do I really want to strike out again? And, just hearing what Tracy's sharing here is that you have that burning passion and desire to make this happen, that you're willing to go up to bat as many times as it takes. And as Tracy's just happened to pan out on that third time. And it still, I assume, took a lot of refinement and continuation in that third process as well.
Yes, and it did. And that was three times at jewelry. We're not talking about the other three
Yeah.
failed businesses before that. We're not talking about the clothing part of the business that failed or the wedding planning business that failed because my first client was a bridezilla. So there was so much to the whole journey. But one thing I realized, I had a passion for fashion. I was really good at that because my grandmother sold clothes and accessories out of the trunk of her car. And at four, I was her assistant. So I didn't go to daycare. I never went because I had to go and sell at four. I was my grandmother's little helper. So I helped her. I remember the customers' names, who I still remember to this day. I was good at directions, and she let me help keep the books. So I started learning about money and responsibilities of money from a little girl. So coupled with all of that, and then we move in to all these other businesses because I believed in my heart I was an entrepreneur, but I did not have the proof. I had no proof of concept, which is very important to start a business and to have a thriving business. You need POC, proof of concept. So I had no proof of concept, but I had surely had a lot of motivation and determination. I just didn't have the thing yet that was going to do it for me. So I didn't have the proof of concept. But what stood out to me was that I always had great success when I involved other people and always involved other women. From the time I was 12 years, 13 years old, I had a little employment agency. I got the kids in the neighborhood a job and they had to give me a percentage of their first paycheck. What kind of kid does that? I did that. So when I look back on everything I did, I had the most success when I involved other people. And the other thing that I got was the passion for fashion. Well, I got it from my grandmother. She sold clothes and accessories. So I learned some things early. And then when I put those two things together, especially with jewelry being one size fit all, I finally got proof of concept. I had something that I could build on, but yet I didn't have success until the third try. And what I didn't have, Rachel, I didn't have your podcast to listen to. So I didn't have anybody else telling me it was possible. It could take three times. I'm just glad I was relentless to keep going because sometimes somebody who's listening just needed to know that they are okay if it didn't work out the first time, that they can go again and even again because they've got to now be ready for the amount of success that's coming their way. And I lift weights. I'm a bodybuilder also. That's new on my resume. That was a lifelong goal, but I am. So I spent a lot of time in doing weights, always doing something with weights. And in life, I realized that we have to WAIT on things and we don't like to wait because it takes long. And when I was doing my weights in the very beginning, I didn't see the muscles coming. I still saw the chicken flab coming on my arms. So I didn't see the toneness because I'm small, so I'm not buff, but I'm toned. And it took a long time to develop. And I wonder how many people give up before they see the results. And the results will come when you're consistent. But what I have learned, even in my Big Dog Academy, I can see how many people watch my modules, the things that I have to teach them. And half of them do, and half of them don't. And the ones that don't, they get out of the program. And I don't try to get them back because there is a part that we all have to play. And I know that part. And I understand it from experience.
Wow, that was powerful. And it's so true. You know, it's like we want this overnight success, no matter how many years it's taken, because it's almost like that idea had been in your mind for years before it even came to fruition. So your proof of concept probably took you decades long to even get there. And now you're just thinking, okay, why hasn't this turned yet? Like, come on, come on. And, you know, to your point about bodybuilding, and I can, you know, obviously from one bodybuilder to another, it's the day in and day out, the consistency over time yields results. And we are so conditioned in a society where everything is microwave moments. Like we just need it here today or yesterday. And that's not the reality. That's not how we develop our bodies. That's not how we develop our minds. That's not how we develop a business. For us to even grow and scale, it's repetition over time. You didn't just get the muscles overnight. Just thinking about being a bodybuilder, you didn't develop it. It was putting in the hard works, rep after rep after rep. Wow.
Yes. Yes. And to transition, you got to remember, I've been thinking about, see, this is a lot of people too. I've been thinking about this for over 30 years. The day that I would have capped shoulders and toned arms and everything else raised up that gravity has started pulling down. I dreamt about it, but I never got in the gym to do anything about it. In January of last year, I made a decision to start. February, I changed the diet. I got a coach. I got a coach because even though I'm a coach, I'm coachable. Can you submit to being coached? Can you be coachable? That's what I tell people all the time. I love coachable, trainable, teachable people. And I can, with all the things that I've done, I can still coach and be coached. I am still coachable because I always love to learn and want to learn. So I got a coach in this to help me understand how I was eating and how I was eating wrong, how important drinking all this water is that I have to drink on a daily basis. I have a full gym in my home. Wonderful. But every time I went to the doctors, I was shrinking and shrinking. And they said, you really got to start doing some weight bearing exercises. And I'm thinking, I'm doing the leg press, but then I realize I have not changed that weight in 2 years. So I'm pressing the same amount. Leg extensions is easy. I can just sit there and just do them because I had no one to push me and challenge me. And I didn't even challenge myself at that point. So we both know what a good coach and trainer will do. And this is why I love this program, because you're acting as their coach when they come and listen to you, because we're going to push you beyond. So my coach, I start off, I remember on leg press, I couldn't even do 145 plate on both sides. I think I did a five and a five, but now I warm up to three plates, to four plates, and we're moving. And this is just not even a year until next month. And I can see the difference. But there was a moment in this process, I was on the treadmill because I had to do a whole lot of cardio to bring my body fat down. I'm on the treadmill and thinking to myself, this is taking way too long and I want to quit. And somebody came right up, just like I hope I'm coming right up for you today. Somebody came up on the treadmill next to me and said, boy, you're so committed. I can see it. I see your body transforming, everything that was against what I was seeing in my own mind. I see your commitment, she said, and I can see the transformation. Wow, have you seen your back? No, I haven't seen my back. I'm not in the mirror looking at my back. I didn't even know I had a back that was doing anything. And she's telling me, I can see it. And right then, if I could have gotten off that treadmill and ran to the back and cried, because it took everything in me not to just burst into tears, because I needed that at that moment. That was my quitting point. I was going to finish up the day and not come back again. And within 3 months, I went on the stage and started winning. and getting better, bringing a better package in every show because I got committed to the commitment. And even when I didn't see the results, I had to make a decision. People have to make a decision to the long term of the process.
Oh my goodness, so true. And your story, I'm pulling in my own version of that, especially bodybuilding, because it's not just about pushing your body to limits. This is literally a mental competition. That strength, that fortitude, that moment you want to give up, because man, is it hard. And you're operating on lower calories week after week, especially with competition on deck. You are just looking forward to going to bed. You are tired. But you got to get through the day and then running businesses and doing all the things that are your everyday requirement. And this is the strength that is women, man, we don't quit. We keep going when it's so hard, when we're so close to giving up. And if this, Dr. Tracy, you are delivering here and you're speaking not only to my listeners, but to me, because yes, there are moments and I'm in a personal season of just getting back into that gym and get back into the grind. Because there was a time where I took off and I asked myself, do I even have that passion and drive to keep going? But that fire has always been in me and you've just ignited that. So thank you. And that is just, oh my goodness. So that analogy, that story is really what I consider the recipe for life. Is we need people there in those moments of darkness and despair to encourage us and lift us up. It doesn't matter if we are the $100 million woman to the woman who might have $100. The same processes and the same mindset and the same beliefs and the same struggles are real because we're human. And that, I
Right.
think, is the relatability of all of this, because we can pull this from business to bodybuilding to life, wherever you are, those that are listening. At what point can we in our life use that extra encouragement? At what point in our life are we willing or ready to give up, but we're willing to keep going because there's something greater beyond? And that is that push and that's a drive. And sending people into our life, we ought to be open to that, receiving those words of encouragement and affirmations that say somebody else is always watching and they got my back, even when I can't see it.
Yes. And Rachel, who knew you were in the gym? And you I mean, I've never used this story or analogy on any other podcast. And I had no idea that you could really relate to all of this. So for your listeners, we didn't talk beforehand. We didn't discover we both have a love for bodybuilding. I didn't know that that was even a love of yours or something that you even did. And I think that also just speaks to who you are and the people you're attracting into your environment, because I'm now in your environment and there is a comfort level with being with you that I feel comfortable in sharing some things that I have not shared before. And I think that's why you have one of the top podcasts, because you invite people in to hear these intimate conversations that are not scripted, that we did not discuss in advance. And we just came on and we were willing to just go for it because we both know there's so much inside that once we start talking, and so even to your listeners, once you start going and you're on the path, more things will come out. The more you go, the more you do, the more things will come out. And there are people already lined up waiting for you to go who are watching, who will be encouraged by you. But there are also people who are waiting to encourage you. It's like you're running a race and there are people positioned at different mile markers to encourage you. And the biggest encouragement is going to come when you get closer to the finish line. Now, that's the hardest time because that's when you want to quit. But if you just keep going, you're going to hear exactly what you need to hear to keep going in the race.
Yes. Oh my gosh. In that race, there is no competition other than yourself. And there is no time unless the time you placed upon yourself. So that's why I always say, with a competition, no matter what it is, competition in life, we have to be persistent in our own race at our own pace that is sustainable, so that we don't get to that point of just complete burnout, wanting to give up, and give in on this life and these hopes and dreams and aspirations, because somebody else needs you to keep going because you're the encouragement for them. And I know that sometimes, even for women, we're just natural givers. And so there's moments in our life where we don't have much to give. But that's the beauty of being around other women, being inspired by such podcasts such as this particular one, and even this episode where we're pouring encouragement into your ears. And I'm having this conversation, like Dr. Tracy said, we did not talk before this, and we typically do, but we are just ready to go on this episode, and I'm fired up. And I had no idea about Tracy's background. So yes, for those listening, I've been in bodybuilding since 2012. I hung up my suit and my heels in 18. I've still lived that lifestyle. I'm still persistent because I know what it takes to overcome so much of this life that we have. And I turned to weightlifting and bodybuilding as a way to heal and recover from so much of my own, that this has now been the foundation to which I've built this entire platform on. It's about health and wellness. It's about advocacy for yourself. It's about resiliency. And through those repetition and over time, we build that confidence. And confidence is not something I was born with. Was not something I even thought was possible. And so this is us to instill that confidence in other women, because that was the belief we once needed for ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, wow. So I'm finding this out about you. Your listeners are finding this out. And I'm laughing when you say I hung up my suit and heels. You know, I know exactly what that is. And look at us at two different stages in terms of even that. I'm new to bodybuilding, just started the journey. So I just got a suit and the clear heels. So I'm just walking in that, and you've already walked in that, learned such amazing lessons that apply. And that's what I was sitting thinking here and thinking in life when I see the women in the gym. If they can do this and be this committed, because the number one busiest time in our gym is 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not there at 5 in the morning, but the women who are going to work and who have 2 and 3 children, they're there at 5 in the morning because it is that kind of priority. If you can set aside that time, two things happen. Number one, you're making sure that you're putting on your oxygen mask first. Isn't that what they tell you on the plane? Put your mask on first. Women, I'm glad they tell us that because we'd be saving the children. Everybody in our row, everybody in the front row, we would make sure they have oxygen. And then where are we? Put your mask on first. So even when you take time, even for exercise or doing things or listening to this podcast, you are now filling yourself back up. Because what we want to do, what the goal is for us as women, is to give from an overflow position, not from an emptiness. Because that's where burnout happens. If we are empty and trying to give from emptiness, we are frustrated. We can get burnt out. Make sure you are full and overflowing. You deserve to do something that is just for you. And I am telling you this lesson because I didn't always live that way. I did everything for the business, everything for my family. My child, my husband, and this and that. And I was always the last one. And over time, that can really burn you out. And then it takes the joy away from the thing that is could even be your purpose in life. You have no joy anymore because you're empty. So fill up until you can't fill anymore and give from that extra and keep what you need for yourself so that you can continue to give and thrive and do great things for yourself in this year and your family.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with everything you just shared. And I think that, relating this back even to business is going back to your three attempts and those failed businesses. It's the same thing with competitions or even just the pursuit at the gym. How many times we have these lofty goals? We just need to lose the 10 pounds. You lose the 10 pounds, you find yourself back at gain 20. And it's this rebound back and forth where now we look at the proof of concept, or the proof is in the pudding. Where could we say that we've had success in our trials? How can we say that we're going to make it? Because there's almost this, we're breaking those promises to ourselves because we're not consistent on our follow through. And so sometimes that can get into our head where, okay, this is just the New Year's resolution again, or this is this time of year. And you start putting those expectations on yourself, knowing that your patterns don't pan out to the lasting results. So there's that shift. And so I'd love for you to share a bit of that shift that not only changed in your business, but now you see this into your bodybuilding phase that you're in now, because you see how they correlate.
They do, even on the bodybuilding side. While I was doing business, I convinced myself I had no time for the gym. Even though the pounds were sneaking up on me, I still had no time. So I always wanted a Jenny Craig fix. I wanted to go get my Jenny Craig. I had a lifetime membership. Get the food, just eat that food for a while, lose the few pounds, and go back. I was never ready for a lifestyle change. And in business, if you want long-term sustainable growth, and if you want to not just be sustainable, but if you want to elevate, if you want to go to another level in your group, in your growth, in your business, you've got to now change the patterns of my Jenny Craig ways. It got to the point that it didn't work anymore. I could get the food, I could go and do that program, and I wasn't losing a thing. So my shortcuts gave out. So in order to sustain and then now stop shrinking, because for 2 years in a row, I'm shrinking. And then they said that I had osteopenia, which means that if I would have broken bones. Oh my gosh. So what could I do? That means I was going to have to stop tricking myself with these short-term results. I'd have to do something sustainable. In the weightlifting world, that's the one thing that I had in my mind. I'm 5'4", and surely I didn't want to go down to 5'3". I needed to keep every little bit of my 5'4". So I had to realize that me talking myself like, oh, I'm so busy with this and that, it had nowhere else to go. So I was faced with something. Now in business, I'm willing to do it, but for myself, for my health, am I not willing to give up the shortcut, do something that's sustainable, and then accomplish a goal that's always been the secret desire of my heart that I never really shared? Was I willing to do what was necessary? And I was. I had to get to that place that the food, I was willing to get rid of and portion myself out appropriately. I was willing to do that. I was willing to go into the gym 4 days a week for me, for 3 hours a day, and learn what I had to do, and trust that process. Even though I cried through it sometimes, wanted to give up, but I had to trust that. And that became sustainable. I could see the results after a time, but it became also something enjoyable because it brought me back to the days of starting my business, seeing the growth, also projecting further and going further than I even projected, and changing my environment, hanging around. That's the thing that we need to talk about, the environment. Because if you're not putting yourself in the environment for change and for sustainability and for success, then how can you continue to grow? How can you make the dream come true if you're hanging around people who don't believe that you can do it? And even people that you've outgrown. We don't understand that some environments we've outgrown. And I had outgrown my environment of my house gym. Now I've got all the equipment in there, but it could not speak to me. It could not get me to do higher reps. Now, I've been doing this for 2 years and had no visible quads. I'm at the gym for less than a year. I've got visible quads and hamstrings, and I'm less than the time from before because I needed a proof of concept. And that was my proof that this is sustainable. This is my new way of life. And then when I went to the doctor, my blood came back so good. And she's like, "What? This thing is clean. What are you doing? Look at all your levels, your blood pressure." I never had high blood, but it still is just, it's like, what has happened? Well, I made some major changes that were extremely uncomfortable. And here's the big one, everybody. This is life. It costs me. It was costly in my time, but it financially was costly to change the way I eat completely. It's costly to hire a personal trainer. It's costly. Those are costly things to even compete in competitions, buy the $1,000 suit. It's costly. So, what cost for your business, for your career, for the C-suite position? What cost are you willing to pay? Life will pay you any price you ask, but first it's going to test you to see how bad you want it. What are you willing to pay for it? You got to be
That's a
willing to
good
pay.
question.
Yeah.
Great question. We all have to ask ourselves because everything we want in life comes at a price. But is it the price you're willing to pay? And that's a sacrifice. So again, parent pulling these analogies from fitness and health to life and business is sometimes we get so complacent in our comfort that is so comfortable, we don't even want that change. We want to think that we want the change, is that I want it, but without action, it's just a wish, it's a dream. There's no plan, there's no movement, there's no course of action that is propelling you to say, I'm real serious about this because here's what I'm willing to give up. Because us as women, we're already at full capacity, right? We're always operating like we are spread thin. As Dr. Tracy said, we don't even got time to take care of ourselves. So when we say, oh my gosh, I got to do this now, it feels like you just threw more plates on this overstacked load and you're just barely hanging on by a thread. But that's the time when you take inventory of your entire life and say, listen, this is no longer serving me. Those ladies that I'm hanging out with, they're always going out for a happy hour or eating at those places that I know this is my dream goal. This is where I want to be. Is that kind of food and environment going to serve me? We as individuals are consumers of everything. So we have to be cognitive of what we're putting into our mouths, into our ears, into our eyes, and into what we are consuming as individuals of those people that we are surrounding ourselves by. So
Absolutely.
you have hit the nail on the head right there. And I'd love for you to unpack that too, because when you talk about environment and change and the cost, let's talk about the payoff.
And you know what? The payoff is that this is the business term. Everybody wants a sustainable business. And it's great to sustain, but how about to scale? So we sustain and then we scale. You don't scale unless you've seen a sustainable business and a sustainable profit and a proof of concept. And then we're ready to scale. And changing your environment sometimes will help you. I know when I got around a different group of women who were all business owners, C-suite, and who were in a certain revenue category, it opened my mind to scale, to think differently, and to even receive the next level that was coming my way. When I was with a different group of women, I got satisfied with everything the way it was, and I was the biggest fish in that pond. So in their eyes, I had made it, and maybe even in my own. But then when I got around some people who were doing bigger things than I was doing, I could see it. And even in the fitness world, when I would look at the pros now and just take a look, not for comparison's sake, but to see where I could scale to if I keep going. Because as I stated, when I started my journey to the stage from February to September, my package, that's what we call it in bodybuilding, my package I presented on the stage was very slim. I went from 138 pounds to 103 pounds. Let's not even talk about the hardness of the body fat. When everybody told me for my age, I couldn't go below 10% body fat. And in that competition, you really needed to be a little lower, 8%. And I got there. So I had to defy the odds. And then, of course, at my age, everybody wants anti-aging. What the best anti-aging for me has been in the gym. So when I turned 60 and I did my 60-year-old show, and I got first place in the 50, first place in 60. Then I did the natural show, two shows in a weekend. You know how crazy that is. And the very next day, I did a natural. So I won first place in both. And that was my goal for turning 60. That was the real anti-aging. Not everything just for the face, no injectables and all the other stuff. I wanted to see, could I scale these results that I was getting? Could I make this a lifestyle? Could this be, and I attached a goal, my 60th birthday. Could I then see some lasting results that I can continue to build on? Because I always have to have the goal. And where could I go next? And what I found, I had to shift the group. I had to now hang out with those, even in the gym. I got into a group. I had personal training, then I went to group training. But in my group, they're heavy lifters. They make no excuses. And some of them are in different higher categories. I'm bikini, they're wellness. So they're lifting like this crazy 8 plates on a leg press. I'm like, wow. So I just had to shift. And that's what I'm talking to your audience about. I know we're using a lot of wellness examples, and that's all new for me too, but I was able to get it and understand it because I've been able to do the same things in business. And I am saying we have to feed our minds properly with information like you're sharing today. I just can't even believe you're giving this information on the podcast and it's like free. All they have to do is like listen. That's it. And be transformed when normally a transformation, and even after listening today, there is a cost to them because they're going to have to make changes and they're going to have to do it. And there could be some financial costs because there's classes that they're going to have to take and organizations they may need to hook up to. National Association of Women Business Owners, they may have to plug into associations to get more of this so that when the moments of quitting come, they will be bulletproof to what those moments normally do for other people.
Oh, so well said. Yes. And I love that you pulled it all together into a business perspective because it is, it truly is a payoff. And when you're surrounded by the right people, you become that bulletproof version because you know that you have the support, you have the confidence, you have the confidants in your corner. And it's just keeping to show up in a way that says, you know what? I'm continuing to grow in every aspect of my life. And yes, while growth is painful, that's why they call it growing pains. It comes at a price. So, my question to you again, those listeners, what are you willing to sacrifice or give up for the greater gain that is on the other side of this dream, this goal, this vision you have for yourself? Because we all have that in our hearts and it's all tugging there because you wouldn't be tuning into episodes such as this if you didn't have that calling on your heart for something greater. But when we look at our environment, we look at our circumstances and our situations, we cannot be limited by that. But we have to look for the future version of this woman we're becoming. And that is this badass business owner to this loving, nurturing woman that can just love on her family to this confident, strong, powerful woman that's crushing it at the gym. Whatever that looks like for you, you fill in the blanks because this is your story. This is the version that you get to craft and create. Nobody's going to do it for you. So when you look at the inventory of your whole life, this is what we're really harping on here, is you're building a lifestyle, a healthy and sustainable lifestyle. Yes, you need that first because without that, your business will just become the byproduct of that foundation. And if that foundation is rocky, shaky, crumbling, that's hard to build sustainable success upon. But if she were to say, you know what, my life was in shambles, what good is the payoff when there is no reward on the end? Because this is the meaning of life and fulfillment.
Could not have said that any better myself. And you're 100% right. I remember in one of my iterations of my business, I wanted to go to catalog. It was on my heart. I knew that that was the long-term path, and that was the way to involve other women and help them and give them an opportunity. I always wanted to empower women. And I started a catalog, but the problem was I did it with jewelry I could never get again. So I spent thousands of dollars on a catalog, and all I had were those thousands of dollars. I had $2,500. I invested in a catalog I could never get the items for. So I just, that just, it was devastating. But when I look back over that lesson, I mean, how was I doing a catalog and I couldn't get the jewelry again? I mean, what was I thinking? I wasn't. So we make those mistakes. We need to give ourselves grace, is my lesson here. Give yourself grace for the things that you don't know and you may do wrong. But because of that, when I pulled it back together and was able to start again, I understood the catalog was the way and I knew how to do it because I gave myself some grace and then used the lessons, never forgot the lesson, and started the catalog business. And that was the thing that really propelled us to the $100 million mark was the catalog.
Wow, this has been an incredible conversation. I'm empowered by your story as well. This is something I think our listeners should go back to and re-listen because there's been so many nuggets of wisdom and takeaways and your own shared experiences and the lessons. Life is just a trial and error. We have to figure things out as we go. So you can have the perfect plan or perfect blueprint, but it came at a cost to get there. For example, Tracy's blueprint is not going to translate into a proven blueprint for you without any mistakes or mishaps. So you have to be open to that transformation and growth that is an ongoing process. And this is part of the destination that we never arrive. We just have to find that joy in this journey, and the journey begins every day. We get to begin again. Dr. Tracy, I would love for you to share with our listeners anything that we haven't yet covered or any words of advice or wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with.
Oh my gosh, I think we said so much. I would absolutely encourage them to kind of go back and listen to this again. But the main thing I want them to get out of this is that they have something really great and special that they came here to deliver. How do I absolutely know that? Because they're listening. They found you and they found us at this day, at this moment, and it is not an accident. And I just would love to speak into their lives to tell them to continue the journey. Believe in yourself. You've got to believe. That is the most important person that has to get the work done, is you. And I believe in you. Rachel believes in you. So make it happen. Let this be the year that you say, you know what? I'm drawing a line in the sand. It starts here. It starts now. I'm going to give myself grace for all the other times I started and stopped. But just like Tracy said, there were many iterations of herself. I'm going forward and I'm going all the way.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And I will second on that as well, because grace covers a multitude and we are going to mess up. We're going to have mistakes. It's not about if, it's when. So how can women find more information about you, connect with you, and just learn and follow along with this journey that you're on as well?
Yes, at Dr. Tracy Lynn. That's on all social platforms, including YouTube. I do long form content on YouTube and I do daily shorts on Instagram at Dr. TracyLynn. They can follow me there.
Amazing. So, of course, all that will be in the show notes below. So, be sure to give Dr. Tracy a follow. And if today's episode resonates with you, reach out, let her know, and share this with somebody who can use this encouragement and uplifting in their life.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for having me. You are wonderful. I have enjoyed this more than you can imagine. I love it.
Thank you.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.